time for Healthy Talk Radio.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission.
Coming to you live from the headquarters of the Global Health Network and across the World Wide Web.
Computers can do that?
It's America's longest running radio program dedicated to your health and wellness.
What's taking place here is an alternative approach.
Now, the woman who's changing the face of healthcare each and every day.
That's the fact, Jack!
Here's Deborah Ray.
Good day. Welcome to Healthy Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Ray. Well, Canada's largest retailer of outdoor equipment has announced that they are pulling all their water bottles. Apparently, they're plastic, and there's some chemicals in that that could be detrimental to you and me and to the environment. Well, it's an important topic with the recent joint meeting between the American Medical Association and the American Dental Association. What's going on inside your mouth affects the rest of your body. We have an award-winning practitioner who's a best-selling author, the author of The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine, to talk with us about dental health. Yes, it affects total body health. We'll also talk about metals in your mouth, with Dr. Robert Kulatz joining us today, inviting you to join us toll-free, no matter where you're listening to us, at 1-877-711-5211, right here on Healthy Talk Radio. First, though, we always get to the healthcare news and views from credible sources that you won't hear anywhere else. This out of the University of Alabama, Birmingham, laboratory animals fed sugar not only gained more weight, they all developed insulin resistance, but they were also twice as likely to develop the characteristic architecture in their brain of that seen in Alzheimer's. They found that mice fed sugar twice as likely to develop those amyloid plaques that are the architectural hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. And knowing that in this country we consume a lot of sugar and have a lot more Alzheimer's than ever before, perhaps the dots do connect. Of course, these researchers, even though this is published research, will ask for more money for more study to indicate if it works for you and me as humans, with the laboratory animals fed sugar twice as likely to develop the characteristic architectural structural differences in the brain, the amyloid plaques seen in Alzheimer's disease. Well, it's found in soft plastic toys. It's found in nail polish. It's one of the chemicals that makes plastics soft and pliable. BBP, butyl benzyl phthalate, has now been identified, thanks to researchers at Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia, in published research in the online journal Genomics, to alter breast tissue and increase breast cancer. They found that the amount of BBP, benzyl butyl phthalate, found in soft plastic toys and nail polish, in the equivalent dose known to be safe by the American Environmental Protection Agency, was enough to alter breast tissue, setting the stage for more breast cancer. Unfortunately, that incidence is on the rise. In fact, we know that 1 in 3 women will have the challenge of cancer in their lifetime. So perhaps all of us need to know about some of these compounds that we find in many of the products around us. Well, this in from the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, they focused on phosphatidylserine. That's an interesting nutrient that's important for fat cells. And because our brains are composed of more than 60% fat, phosphatidylserine has been dubbed by noted researchers like Dr. Thomas Crook in his book, The Memory Cure, to be an important nutrient to help keep your brain healthy. Well, what they found is 200 milligrams per day of phosphatidylserine was able to increase and enhance the performance in golfers, because we find more oxidative stress stresses you not only mentally but physically which is not good if you want to excel in your golf game. So just keep in mind, phosphatidylserine, good for your brain, and now according to published research, good for your golf game as well. Well, speaking of nutrients when it comes to physical performance, now a published study in the journal Nutrition Research, and according to the University of Arizona researchers, several more studies will be published this year. They found that 50 milligrams of pycnogenol, this is from the French maritime pine bark extract. That's a mouthful. So it's known as pycnogenol, P-Y-C-N-O-G-E-N-O-L, pycnogenol. 50 milligrams three times a day improved physical function in better than 50% of patients who suffered from osteoarthritis. Pycnogenol is known to be a very important antioxidant, particularly of importance when it comes to blood vessel health. It reduces that capillary fragility. It also reduces our risk of deep vein thrombosis, clots forming on long distance travel or if we sit for extended periods of time. And now we find that pycnogenol improves physical function, reduces pain, improves mobility in better than half of patients with osteoarthritis. And there are any number of universities, including University of California, Berkeley, and University of Arizona, that have been doing some of these groundbreaking research studies on a very important antioxidant known as pycnogenol. It's the extract of the French maritime pine bark, known to be a very important antioxidant indeed for our health. Well, this comes out of Sweden. The National Board of Health in Sweden has now acknowledged that 80% of the suicides in Sweden were committed by people under psychiatric drug treatment. There is growing concern about some of the side effects of prescription antipsychotic medication, that it sets the stage for more suicidal behavior. So sobering news indeed, that 80% of those people who committed suicide in Sweden last year were patients under psychiatric care taking psychiatric drugs. Obviously, there's much more that we could and should be doing when it comes to life's mental challenges. And we talk on a regular basis not only about orthomolecular medicine. Dr. Whitaker, our medical expert, is a real leader in orthomolecular medicine, a term coined by two-time Nobel Prize laureate Dr. Linus Pauling. Orthomolecular simply means that you are using a nutrient to affect your body's biochemistry. And the whole field of orthomolecular psychiatry that was launched by Dr. Abram Hoffer back in 1952 when he cured schizophrenia using vitamin B3 niacin has now come much farther, because nutrients make a difference not only in our physical function, but our mental function as well. Well, this research comes out of Japan, published in the journal Nutrition. They found that an increased intake of folic acid decreased the incidence of depression in men. There are any number of nutrients that are important for our overall well-being and mood. The B vitamins in particular make a difference. They didn't see the counterpart in women. But knowing that folic acid, because we process our grains, is in short supply, important that we optimize all of our nutrients to optimize brain function and reduce the incidence of depression. This Finnish research comes out of the British Journal of Nutrition. They found that by taking tomato concentrates, yes, there's a lot of focus these days on lycopene, one of the carotenes, a member of the carotenoid family, found in red-colored fruits and vegetables. So whether it's watermelons or guava or tomato, there's a lot of lycopene there. They found that taking the tomato concentrate lowered LDL. That's an important risk factor for heart attacks and strokes, did so by about 13%. We have focused a lot of research on lycopene when the unfolding research appears to indicate that you need to take a complex of all of the carotenes, the carotenoid family, one of the reasons that I switched several years ago to a natural mixed carotenoid supplement to make sure that I was not only getting beta carotene, but things like lycopene, lutein, zeaxanthin, because all of the 600 members of the carotenoid family are very important for total body health, respiratory health, heart health, immune system health, and if you're a guy, prostate health as well. We're going to return to talk with Dr. Robert Kulatz. He is the author of The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine. Our lines will be open to talk with you about your dental health questions. The telephone number to join us, 877-711-5211, right here on Healthy Talk Radio.
Now, the woman who is single-handedly changing the face of healthcare. Hey, can we get a little help here, please? She shouldn't have to do this alone. Here's Deborah Ray.
A very important guest joins us today to talk about a critical topic. That is, the dots connect. And what goes on inside your mouth affects the rest of your body. In fact, a growing number of integrative practitioners recognize that whether the challenge is chronic pain, autoimmune conditions, cancer, chronic fatigue, let's not forget to look in the patient's mouth as well. And joining us today is a well-known expert in that arena, author of a great book, a must-read for all of us to make informed decisions about dental health equaling total body health. The book is entitled The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine. Dentist Dr. Robert Kulatz joins us today. Dr. Kulatz, hello and welcome.
Hello, Deborah. Great to be with you.
Well, we're seeing so much more focus these days on mercury, and of course it brings up, you know, the larger issue of metals in your mouth. And now there's a lot of effort, thanks to recent FDA hearings, to take a look at mercury in our mouths. Give us an overview of what these various metals can mean, and not in terms of dental health, but total body health, please, Dr. Kulatz.
Sure, Deborah. One of the most important metals that we are concerned with is mercury. And everybody knows that, you know, mercury is a very toxic metal. You break a thermometer, and you've got to be very careful cleaning it up, and a mercury spill in any kind of an industrial environment, they'll come in with protective gear to clean it up. Mercury is very, very toxic in very, very small amounts. Now, amalgam fillings, or the, quote, silver fillings that many people have in their mouths, actually contain mercury 50% by weight.
Yeah.
And only 20% of that filling is actually silver. So it's a misnomer to call it a silver filling. They should really be called mercury fillings. And the problem is that the mercury in this alloy, in this amalgam filling, comes out. It's not totally bound like right. The American Dental Association used to say it was,
mm-hmm.
and biologically inert. A true alloy, or a true compound that is formed and is chemically bound, will, in most cases, not release metallic ions or parts of the metal into the environment, or in this case, into the person's, you know, mouth and into the body. Mercury is, you know, being 50% by weight in these amalgam fillings, is very volatile. And the problem with mercury is that in these fillings, it's a mixture, not really a true alloy. And under the temperature of the oral cavity, and when you drink hot liquids, or you abrade and you rub on the amalgam filling when you chew your food, you actually release mercury vapor from these amalgam fillings. Mercury actually you can see it if you use a mercury light and rub on an amalgam filling. You'll see little what looks like smoke coming out of the filling. That's actually mercury vapor. And the problem is that this mercury vapor comes off these fillings in an uncharged form, which means that the body can readily absorb this mercury vapor, and the mercury can then travel to different organs in the body, brain, kidney, heart, etc., and can cause some toxic effects. Now, the American Dental Association doesn't want you to know this, and they are, back in 1990, a nice 60 Minutes episode caught the American Dental Association really needing to go back to Chemistry 101 because their description of amalgam fillings and how the mercury is bound to the other metals, other components of the filling, was totally not valid, not scientifically valid.
Wow.
So, you know, what we have to look at is that we're placing one of the most toxic heavy metals,
right.
Mercury, bottom line. We, you know, women are warned not to eat fish because of mercury content when they're pregnant.
Sure.
We're warned not to, eat certain foods and be exposed to mercury in other areas. It's been taken out of many other, almost every medical product that there is, yet it is still in amalgam fillings. And there's a big war going on to try to get it out, but there's very, very powerful lobbies. The American Dental Association, probably some of the insurance companies that are fighting to keep this data covered up. And there actually is no safe level of mercury exposure. Even minute quantities of mercury can be toxic. And the dental establishment often says, well, only a small amount of mercury comes out. It's not harmful to you. Well, that is not true. It falls in the face of scientific research done by Dr. Richardson in Health Canada that showed that even very, very minute amounts of mercury can be toxic and that our accepted levels of exposure that were accepted by the FDA and the ADA are not valid, that we can see detrimental effects in the nervous system, in the kidneys, in the heart, at much, much lower levels of exposure than previously thought. So it's absurd to think that we're still using this material.
Now, I was unaware, and would welcome your insight here, Dr. Kulatz, because we were speaking with Dr. Whitaker, who is our resident medical expert, and he was indicating that when they screen for heavy metals there at his facility, whether they use the stool or the urine screening test, there is a different set of normals for people who have mercury amalgam, silver fillings in their mouth, because they are known to have a higher burden of mercury, which acknowledges exactly what you're saying, that everybody knows that your mercury level's higher, yet we have the American Medical Association and certainly the Environmental Protection Agency saying no mercury is okay these days, Dr. Kulatz.
That's right, Deborah. And actually, in the EPA report to Congress several years ago, it said the highest body burden, the most mercury that your body's going to absorb comes from dental amalgam fillings, not from fish, air, water, any other food source. It comes from the amalgam fillings. Plus, in addition to that, more importantly, that when amalgam fillings are placed and removed, let's say the filling has worn out, and you're getting a new filling, you're going to get a large exposure of mercury when that filling is being drilled out. And that was in a report to Congress that I saw, and I have a copy of it, but somehow, mysteriously, has not been made public. Mainstream media should have taken this and run with it, because it's an important concept. You look in the medical textbooks, one of the textbooks in medical school, Goodman and Gilman, textbook on pharmacology and toxicology, and it talks about mercury exposure. And you look at the charts on mercury exposure, and it says highest body burden coming from dental amalgams. Yet we see in the newspaper all about fish, and we see coal-burning facilities, etc. These are important, but why aren't we seeing the mainstream media jumping all over the dental community for putting a toxic substance into our bodies that is not actually even FDA-approved?
It boggles the mind because we know that these heavy metals, you know, actually synergize with each other as well. So when we return, want to find out more. Okay, what are my options? You know, are there other materials that are less toxic in terms of dealing with fillings? So we're talking about dental health. A well-known expert joins us today, Dr. Robert Kulatz, K-U-L-A-Z-Z. For those who asked me to spell, we're talking about dental health equals total body health. He has penned The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine. The telephone number for your questions, 1-877-711-5211. Right here with Dr. Robert Kulatz on Healthy Talk Radio.
Now, the woman who is single-handedly changing the face of healthcare. Hey, can we get a little help here, please? She shouldn't have to do this alone. Here's Deborah Ray.
Dr. Robert Kulatz joins us today, K-U-L-A-C-Z, dentist, author, educator, thought leader. He has penned The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine. He has a wonderful website, The Body Connected, thebodyconnected.com, here to talk with us about some important topics, including things like metals, mercury in your mouth. So alternatives, walk us through. How do we make an informed decision when we have a choice in terms of a filling material, Dr. Kulatz?
Hello, Deborah. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. I had a little problem with the phone here. The metals in the mouth, that's very, it's so critical that the public be aware that the mouth is an integral part of the rest of the body, and that what you put in the mouth and these heavy metals can have a detrimental effect on your overall health.
Dr. Kulatz, we're going to put you on hold because this is too important information not to have the technical challenges dealt with. So we're going to put you on hold for just a moment, make sure that we have a clean line to be able to hear this information. And for people listening to us, there's an important phone number. You can pick up the phone and join us, 1-877-711-5211. That's the number to join us today on the air. His book, The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine, penned with a cardiologist, Dr. Tom Levy, is a must-read for not only for yourself, but for your healthcare practitioners as well. And his website, The Body Connected, will tell you more about his current work, because there is a growing appreciation that what goes on inside the mouth affects your entire body. Yes, we see that, for example, gum disease is as important a risk factor for heart disease as is cholesterol. We see people who have chronic health challenges like cancers or autoimmune conditions or chronic pain who actually respond when their dental challenges are addressed. In fact, I know a number of integrative healthcare practitioners, physicians, who, when they treat patients with a challenge of cancer or autoimmune disease, tell the patient it's time to open wide, that what's going on inside their mouth affects the rest of their body. So this important topic in terms of what are the materials, the dental materials that are used inside your mouth, and what total body consequences those materials can have are of great concern. So whether it's the filling material, we were talking with Dr. Kulatz about the move. In fact, we now find the vast majority of physicians in this country, the dental physicians that do fillings, have moved away from mercury. So what are the options? Please continue, Dr. Kulatz.
Sure, Deborah. Sorry about that. Dropped a glass of water on my modem. some of the options. Well, first of all, I would definitely stay away from amalgam fillings. That's a given. The other options are, if it's a small filling, are the direct resin or white composite fillings. And these are placed by the dentist, same way that you'd go in and have a normal filling done. Rather than putting in the amalgam filling or the mercury-containing filling, the dentist will put in an alternate material, tooth-colored material, that's composed of a a resin composite mm-hmm. that actually bonds to the tooth structure. Now, nothing is actually risk-free. Anything you put in the body is going to have a downside. So dentists will come back and say, yes, but the composite resins will release chemical A, B, C, and D. That is true. They do release some chemicals that some people can react to. But we have to look at which is the worst right. of all right. evils. And right now, until the dental community really gets on the bandwagon and starts to look at dentistry mm-hmm. As medicine looks at the human body, dentistry has to look at what they're putting in people's mouths on a total body level, not just on a functional, fix-the-tooth level.
Right.
This is the best we have so far. There's also some metals which are not as bad to put in for people who don't have any reaction to them, and that would be a gold alloy. High gold fillings or inlays or onlays
right.
are another alternative. They're a bit more expensive, but they last a very, very long time. And gold being what's called a noble metal, meaning it doesn't really react very highly and is pretty inert biologically, is another alternative. A third option is zirconium. Zirconium, I think, is probably what I would put in to my mouth if I had to have a crown done or an inlay or an onlay.
Right.
Zirconium, that's very, very bio-inert. So there are other options, but certainly if you're going to, on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being the most toxic,
right.
we're talking that amalgam fillings containing mercury being up at the 10 level, and the alternative restorative materials like composite resins being down at the 1 or 2 level. So and you have to weigh the risk to benefit ratio, and for sure, amalgam does not fit that bill as far as safety is concerned.
Now, what about future decisions? For example, once you have gold in your mouth, do dissimilar metals, do future options, is that a consideration,
that's
Dr. Kulatz?
That's a great point, Deborah. And that's the other issue about amalgam fillings. Actually, the amalgam manufacturers, in their directions for use, in the little insert that comes with the filling material, state that you should not use amalgam adjacent or opposing other metals like a gold onlay or crown.
Right.
Or what you get is a dissimilar metal reaction, much like a battery, where the different charges, the electrical charges on the fillings, will cause not only release of more metallic ions or more, in this case, mercury coming off the filling, but will also cause what's called a galvanic response. And the current produced by this galvanic response, this battery-like response, can be much more than the current that our brain actually works on. And if you look at how close our mouth is to our brain, just
right.
an inch or two away, with that kind of current going on in the mouth, it's not a very good thing to have so close to your brain.
Sure.
So a galvanic response is one issue, and the increased release of metallic ions from dissimilar metals is another issue. So when people are replacing their fillings, this is a very, very good point, they should look at maybe going to non-metal type restorations, and let's say it is a crown, for example, go to a zirconium crown that has no metal and will not create this galvanic response.
And, be it a bridge or an implant, is the picture larger here as well, Dr. Kulatz?
Well, yes, a bridge, for a small bridge, it can be made out of zirconium.
Mm-hmm.
Larger span bridges that require additional strength may require a metal substructure. Implants, the titanium alloy implants, usually either will have a gold-based crown on top of them, or they can even have a zirconium or a resin-based crown on top of them. Interestingly, a lecture I attended, it has to be about 10, 12 years ago, showed that the galvanic response between dental implants and other metals, and gold, for example, is very small. So that's not the major concern. The more major concern with implants is placing them into infected bone that's still infected when these teeth were extracted. That's another topic for a different time. Why do people need implants? Because they've had extractions of teeth that that probably were infected from gum disease or a failed root canal, and that bone, if not treated properly, will remain infected, and putting an implant into that bone is not a good idea.
Which you know, certainly brings to mind, Dr. Kulatz, you know, the fact that we know what you alluded to mercury. We know that is not only toxic to our nerves, is an immunosuppressant, deadly to our immune system as well. I know people that have these metals, so these dissimilar metals in their mouth. We've talked at great length about infection and inflammation, in the mouth, and how that can affect total body health, from the risk of premature birth to the risk of heart disease. What do we know in terms of mercury's long-term effect on our immune system in an environment? I think the last thing you told us was 700 known species of bacteria in our mouths.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that many of these bacteria will methylate mercury. They'll change mercury to the methyl mercury form, which is what the FDA so warns us against, about the dangers of methyl mercury in fish.
Uh-huh.
Yet the mercury vapor comes off these fillings, and when it interacts with the bacteria in the mouth and in the gut, the GI tract, it's methylated and becomes methyl mercury, and that is highly toxic. The complexity of the interaction of these heavy metals on the immune system, on our neurological system, in our hearts. We know that people who have heart disease many times will have high levels of heavy metals in the myocardium or the heart muscle. It's a very complex issue, and the more we learn about the human body and how so intricate and complex it actually is, the more uncomfortable I think it is for the doctors, the dentists, and the physicians to embrace these ideas, because we're so overwhelmed by that A does not always cause B. There A may cause B, C, D, E, F, G, and combine that with X, Y, Z, and you've got a whole new scenario. And it's very, very overwhelming to physicians and dentists who like to know that they know it all already.
Mm-hmm. Well, our lines are open. It's toll-free no matter where you're listening to us at 1-877-711-5211. The author of The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine, Dr. Robert Kulatz, joining us today. Danny, hello and welcome. You're on the air with Dr. Kulatz.
Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Kulatz, I have a question for you. I went to a biological dentist for removal of a mercury filling, and he did remove it, and he suggested using platinum and gold. Now, when he was putting in my crown, he had to file it. The problem now I have is doing a heavy metal test through Dr. Data's in Illinois, is my platinum level is way off the chart. I don't know if I cause a worse problem now, and I should have left my mercury alone. What's your intake on
that? Well, it's a good question. What they should have done was adjust the crown, try the crown in, adjust the crown by having you bite down on it, take the crown off before they cement it, do all the adjustment outside the mouth, and then when it's finally ready, put the crown and cement it on. Okay, don't do all the adjustment after it's cemented in. And if you do have to do any minor adjustment, be sure you have copious amounts of irrigation or water to keep that crown cool, and very, very importantly, to have suction high-speed suction and low-speed suction around that area where they may be touching that crown, so that none of the particles are absorbed in your body. They're all sucked out in the suction. It's a very, very good point, very good question, and it's a big problem when removing even the amalgam filling. If you don't take precautions in removing the amalgam filling, you're going to have a high body burden of all these heavy metals, too. So that's a very good point.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine, Danny.
My question is, this has already been done where I have this high platinum, and what I'm doing now is I'm doing a DMPS push, hopefully, that this will remove the platinum. What's your intake on that?
I'm not sure how DMPS will chelate platinum. I don't have the data right at my fingertips on that one. But if you have a physician who you're working with, definitely work with that physician to try to get that platinum level down, or whatever means possible. And DMPS is one option, but I'm sure your physician has warned you to, you know, and advised you to be very careful and go slowly with it. Don't push it.
And what you may want to do, Danny, is there is a college of physicians who are board certified in these chelating techniques like the DMPS, the oral chelating agent of which you've mentioned, and they have a toll-free number, which is 1-800-532-3688. They're in Southern California, and you may want to call them and ask for some research about chelating platinum for more information. As Dr. Coulat says, it's a great call. Our thanks to you, Danny. Our line's open. More of Dr. Robert Coulat's joining us today right here on Healthy Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Ray.
Now, the woman who is single-handedly changing the face of healthcare. Hey, can we get a little help here, please? She shouldn't have to do this alone. Here's Deborah Ray.
Dr. Robert Coulat's joining us today, a dentist, educator, really thought leader, that what goes on inside your mouth affects the rest of your body. His book, The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine. The telephone number to join us, 877-711-5211. Let's say hello and welcome to Tim. You're on the air with Dr. Coulat's. Tim?
Good morning, Deborah and Dr. Coulat.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Quick question is, how do dental hygiene products such as, heavy-duty mouthwashes and rinses interact with those amalgam metals that I have in my mouth?
The mouthwashes, I think, more importantly, are critical in the health of the gums than they are, play a factor on the heavy metals or the metals in any of the restorations you have in your mouth. I don't think that, Deborah, unless you can shed some insight on that, I don't think that the mouthwashes will really be a factor in the amalgams.
No. What I've read in the research and talked to practitioners, Tim, as Dr. Coulat says, they'll certainly affect the health of your gums. In fact, we know a lot of those antibacterial mouthwashes are really do a toll on your gums, but nothing directly in terms of their effect on restorations, Tim.
Right. Yeah, I was just concerned about the ingredients in those products, whether they interacted with the compounds in your fillings to produce something else, like ABC, and then it goes to X.
That's a good question, Tim, but I'm not really aware of that either, but it's a good question and topic to bring up, because the hand grenade approach in these mouthwashes are killing all the bacteria using some of these harsh chemicals, can disrupt the oral environment and the balance of good to bad bacteria, the alkaline and acidity of the oral cavity, and that can lead to other problems down the road with gum health and the improper balance of good to bad bacteria. So the hand grenade method of blasting away all the bacteria with these mouthwashes, I think, has to be attenuated and changed to a more targeted approach to making the oral cavity suitable for the good bacteria to prosper and the bad bacteria to have no place to go, basically.
Would there be more information on your website concerning specific products to use instead of the hand grenades then?
You can email me from on my website, and I'll send you some data.
Thank you very much.
Tim, sure. Good question. Thanks so much for your call today. We always have great information with Dr. Kulatz that joins us. You do such a good job, such a service. People just sing your praises. Couldn't be more delighted to have you join us, Dr. Kulatz. All the best.
Thank you, Deborah.
TheBodyConnected.com, the author of The Roots of Disease, Connecting Dentistry and Medicine. Our thanks to Dr. Kulatz. Our thanks to you. If you missed anything, join us online, HealthyTalkRadio.com. I'm Deborah Ray, reminding you to live long, stay healthy.